Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Primetime on Money FM 89.3. I'm Howie Lim. Now, the recent rule change for dependent pass holders, effective the 1st of May this year, announced by Minister for Manpower, Mrs. Josephine Teo, has urged organizations to start looking at how to transit employees to other types of work pass and better support employees on letter of consent to reduce the risk of discontinuity. Though DP holders constitute only 1% of Singapore's total workforce, this rule has several other implications. For more insights, we speak to Kumar Baya, Vice President, Client Solutions Asia Pacific at CELO. Kumar, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Howie. Excited to be here.
So obviously, let's start with how this rule change will help eliminate bias, you're saying.
Right. It's a very relevant topic. It's not come as a surprise, this particular rule change, at least from our perspective or even from our clients' perspectives, because over the last many years, we have seen an active effort from Singapore to build a strong Singaporean core. And so we've seen the change in requirements for different kinds of passes, be it S passes, employment passes, work permits, being enhanced and regulated in that sense to make it more pragmatic. This rule change doesn't really come as a surprise. And you rightly pointed out that it does go towards eliminating a recruitment bias. And how that works is the letter of consent, which is what dependent passes are required to have to be able to work with local organizations, is relatively less stringent in terms of the process, in terms of the quotas or the levies that the companies need to bear in terms of hiring foreign workers. If you compare it to, let's say, some of the other work passes, employment passes and S passes and so forth. So with that, there could sometimes be situations where a foreign candidate who's on a dependent pass could be favored over a local candidate in terms of just the convenience of getting an LOC and getting them to work straight away. And that's kind of the bias that kind of creeps in. So I think this rule change goes directly at the heart of, addressing that particular bias. And I think from a macro perspective, it does help in shaping the public opinion of the situation on the ground. And so it pushes employers towards a more fair employment practice from a recruitment perspective.
But that's sort of a midterm goal, if you will. Just right now, there's the risk of discontinuity, isn't there? Companies who have employed DP holders face that risk. So what do they need to do to overcome this, Kumar?
Sure. I think you've hit on a very, very interesting topic of discontinuity. But before I respond to that, I think if you take a step back and look at the aspect of employing dependent pass holders via the LOC, there already is the risk of discontinuity, even prior to this rule coming into force. And that's because the dependent pass workers then get an LOC. Their dependent pass is tied to the employment pass holders, which is usually their spouse. And so that presents a risk of discontinuity anyway to companies which are looking for long-term employees, as these dependent pass holders then get subject to some sort of unpredictability around their employment pass holder spouses who may either change employment or lose employment, especially in the current environment. And then that subjects the existing DP holders or LOC holders to that risk of discontinued employment as well. And therefore, the risk then passes on to their employers in terms of discontinuity. With the current rule change, in fact, it addresses this risk of discontinuity that exists today. And that's from an employer's perspective. And then to answer your question from an employee's perspective, there's a couple of things that companies need to do, are probably already doing as we speak. First of all, it's the early and transparent communication. So as you rightly pointed out at the top of the show, less than 1% of the total work passes are LOCs. And then importantly, rather than wait for LOCs to expire and be due for renewal, which they can't be, and they have to apply for new S passes or employment passes, it is better for companies to be proactive and look at converting some of those LOCs into other work passes, be it work permits, be it S passes or employment passes indeed. And that's what we're seeing some of the companies already start to talk about and start to execute as well. But like I said, in making sure that the employee impacted is part of the conversation early enough is going to be important. As far as the aspect of some of the LOC holders not being able to convert into other passes. And that's possible, right? It could be that they don't meet the criteria from a salary perspective or from a number of hours being worked perspective,
Which is why they're on the DP anyway, right? To begin with, as a possibility.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And so there is then the need for employers to sort of take a bit more of a strategic and a wider approach towards their talent acquisition strategies in terms of being able to attract wider pool of candidates for those positions. There is going to be impact for some of the companies. I mean, if we take an example of some of the sectors here that do hire part-time workers and typically dependent pass holders on LOC, one of those sectors is the education sector, particularly the international schools that, you know, need a pool of teachers ready to be able to sort of fill in as substitute teachers. And they don't necessarily have fixed working hours or even a number of hours that they would work in a month and, you know, would probably not even meet certain criteria from an S-pass perspective. And so that is a valid concern. As we start looking at the future, it's not just addressing the bias that, you know, could knowingly, unknowingly creep in. I think it forces organizations to look beyond, look at wider pools of candidates, and not just look at wider pool of candidates. It's also work on making themselves more attractive to, let's say, more Singaporeans or Singaporean permanent residents that might be willing to take these on but are not aware of what kind of work systems there might be, some arrangements, you know, and there are pools of candidates that could be looked at, whether it's young Singaporean graduates willing to take on intern work. It could be the older workers that are probably even more open to part-time work, you know, and they have not been really tapped because people are just comfortable in a certain way of doing things.
How can these organizations do this, though? I know it's only 1% of Singapore's total workforce that DP holders are, but is that 1% concentrated, like you say, in certain areas, certain sectors? And this sounds like a major HR overhaul, if you will, re-examining your talent acquisition strategy. These are challenging times, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's really valid in terms of the conversations that, you know, we are having with HR organizations or HR functions within large organizations that are really stretched in terms of the current need from an HR perspective. And, you know, we support them in some of these conversations and driving the talent agendas and looking at the local environments, talent availability, the legislative frameworks to then be able to sort of develop some tailored strategies. And, you know, it's no one size fits all. It's different companies and different sectors have their own challenges and therefore need their own solutions. I mean, 1% is
seems small.
In absolute terms, probably seems small, but yeah. If I am part of the 1%, if I am an employer or an employee affected, it doesn't matter if it's 1%. For me, it's probably
a big deal.
It's a big sure. deal. It is a big deal. So it's not to really underestimate the issue or the importance or the impact of it. First of all, it's doing everything that, you know, you can to retain this pool. There's a couple of strategies that organizations should or could be looking at. Like I mentioned, a wider pool of candidates, you know, older workers and career returners. I mean, you know, women who have, you know, taken a break from their careers and, you know, want to come back. I think this is an opportunity for them as well. You know, how do I attract these people? I mean, we've never really looked at these people before. And I think that's where HR organizations, you know, with the help of firms that specialize, you know, in talent acquisition, workforce strategy, such as Cielo, you know, we partner with these companies to sort of take stock of, you know, what is it right now? What are the gaps in terms of your talent strategies? And what are some of the mechanisms that you could use to plug those gaps and, you know, even get ahead?
Kumar, thanks for your insights.
Sure. Thanks for the opportunity, Howie.
Kumar Baya, Vice President, Client Solutions, Asia Pacific at Cielo. This is Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.